I'm here with Craig Wilsey with the organization Block by Block, which is a...
Block by Block is a nonprofit community organization in Central Harlem that's fighting population displacement in terms of housing, police brutality, and cutback of welfare programs.
How long has Block by Block been in existence?
We're a new group. We've been around since last spring, say like March of 2001, so just a little over 6 months.
Is there anything unusual about the particular form of activism you engage in?
Yeah. As far as issues, again, what we're doing is just working against all forms of population displacement, which we think of in terms of like the new economic programs that are forcing out groups of people that have traditionally lived in Harlem for a long time, specifically like immigrant populations, people of color, poor people, and low-wage workers. And so we look at population displacement as like anything that makes life unsustainable for a community that's under threat. So part of what we're trying to do is link up issues that don't always get linked together. So we understand the gentrification in Harlem and the raising of rents and illegal evictions as like a form of population displacement that's also connected to things like illegal police surveillance and illegal tactics on the street. Again, other things that make a neighborhood hostile for people that are deemed undesirable by city agencies or, you know, coalitions of city and corporate entities. So the strategy of community organizing that we're doing with Block by Block is what we think of as sort of a training-based or popular education-based organizing. A large part of what we're trying to do is redistribute skills and resources that traditionally have been denied people living in Central Harlem so we can assist with building sustainable activist communities. We see this as like a little different than like social service agencies that would do some of the kind of work that we've done as far as like advocating for people with welfare agencies. We think a lot of times social service agencies make people, ask people to be dependent upon them, and where they have to run around like across the city to different like nonprofit agencies and get like assistance for these little pieces of like what is like we say is like a whole set of social and economic injustice problems. What we're trying to do instead is like take out that middle person, take out that social worker, and help tap the resources that already exist within a neighborhood, and again like develop skills and develop resources so that you're looking at like long-term solutions that are bigger than the problems that individuals are facing, looking instead at like the similarities between problems like within like a block or within like an apartment building or within a neighborhood, and looking at like the root causes and thinking of solutions that can be in place beyond the lifetime of like a relationship between like a person and agency or like the existence of an agency.
Could you talk a little bit about recent actions or activities you've engaged in? Like, for example, this last Halloween, there was a protest at an apartment building. Well, maybe you might want to explain it.
Sure. One of the big projects that we've been working on is working with the tenants of 351 St. Nicholas, which is on St. Nicholas Avenue and about 128th Street in Central Harlem. So it's right in the heart of Harlem that's being gentrified. On 125th Street, there's Starbucks and Old Navy and Bill Clinton's office and all this kind of stuff. There's like a real push by the city to get out locally owned businesses and bring in like corporate chains, which creates like sort of, you know, that domino effect. The property values in that area have just like tripled and quadrupled over like a few years. People who never would have lived in Harlem a few years ago now are like fighting over, you know, brownstones and that kind of stuff. So this building is like really sort of like at the crossroads of where Harlem has been and where the city's trying to take it. This building has like a long sort of scandalous history of like absentee landlords, people who've owned the building for a long time and just not even touched it. The most recent landlord who had it for the longest time was living in Florida and had really essentially abandoned the building. It has fallen into like incredible disrepair from like active leaks and rat infestations and roach infestations and like falling in ceilings, painting, peeling plaster, lead paint, like all that kind of stuff. And the tenants working with us formed like an tenants association in the spring to start to deal with some of the stuff and to try and get their landlord to like step up and be accountable, and also to get the city, which has a legal obligation to enforce codes and that kind of stuff, to do their job. Because what you had is like a landlord that wasn't doing anything in a city that wasn't making that landlord do anything. So as a result of the pressure that the tenant started to bring on the landlord sold the building to a new owner, Bill Andrews, who owns the building now, and that happened officially in September of this year. And the tenants were hopeful that at least there was an actual person in place where there'd really been nobody for about a decade. And unfortunately, the landlord rebuffed tenants' efforts to sit down and talk with him about what his plans for the building were and what their needs were. And in addition to turning down invitations to meet, he posted notices of eviction on the door of every single apartment with arbitrary rent amounts. They were not the actual amount that any tenant would owe. It doesn't have a right to collect old rent, having just bought the building, all this kind of stuff. So it was obviously just like an intimidation tactic to force out folks. Unfortunately for him, and lucky for the tenants in the building, it's like a really amazing group of tenants who are really well organized and really committed to preserving their homes and preserving their place in the neighborhood. They've put up with like incredible stuff for like a decade, and they're not about to like sort of step aside now so this guy can clear out the building and renovate the apartments and, you know, charge illegally high rents, which is, we assume, his plans, because that's what people tend to do in Harlem right now. So Rally was organized in conjunction with a court case that was in court for the first time the next day, November 1st, and the function of the rally was both to bring some attention to the case and also to just get people in the neighborhood excited about the work that was going on in the building, let them know, because we know it's the same story in like every building on the block, just about, to get people excited about the possibility of doing similar work in their buildings. So the tenants organized what they called a House of Horrors, sort of Halloween themed thing, where we did like tours of the, you know, haunted house, so people could see the terrible conditions that people are being forced to live in. The building has like a lot of children in it. It has like a lot of old people, sick people, this kind of stuff. So like the conditions are really awful for anybody. They're like really harmful for the health of the folks that are living in that building. So the rally's really great. A lot of people from the neighborhood and other folks that were just sort of concerned or interested showed up, and like a bunch of different media groups came out, which for us is helpful because it creates more pressure on the landlord to know that like other people are snooping around and calling him and asking questions. It also makes the case one more interesting for the city to step in, and they have an opportunity to look good, right, and to like be a hero and take care of the situation, which they should be doing anyway, but unfortunately it takes like this kind of work to get them to do what they're legally obligated to do in the first place.
Well, you mentioned that you were sort of a popular education group as well, and sort of training people to have skills of various kinds. Maybe you might want to talk about that and some of that work.
Sure. That also leads me to just talking about how Block by Block came to be. Me and another one of the organizers, Colby Lenz, met doing tenant organizing for another organization here in the city, and we organized in a building on 132nd Street where a woman named Marcella Elf was living, and the work with her sort of got Colby and I both more interested in doing some more work in Harlem, and her work with us got her sort of excited about the possibility of working with folks in her neighborhood the way that we've been working with her. So the three of us sort of like came up with this idea to give up our jobs that paid us and dedicate ourselves to this new thing instead, and to focus like specifically on Central Harlem, where there just is so much intense pressure right now. So, I mean, the model in some ways like developed kind of organically out of how we all came together, because Colby and I had been sort of being educated middle-class white folks, had gotten access to, you know, organizing jobs, and had been trained and educated in ways to do organizing that Marcella hadn't had access to, and so we were just sort of walking her through some stuff. So she actually brought us to this building 351, and it was turned out to be a building with a ton of work, and that was really exciting to work in. So we sort of like went into it with Marcella as like, you know, opportunity for us all to organize the building, and also to train Marcella in some of the stuff that we'd been doing. And also, like, as far as like popular education stuff, part of what we're trying to do always is to link the problems that individuals in Central Harlem are experiencing with the problems that their neighbors are experiencing with larger structural stuff around like racism and economic injustice and like the city agencies and city institutions that perpetuate that stuff. So rather than looking at like just like the isolated needs of one tenant as far as like the conditions in their room, trying to always connect that to a system of creating bad conditions for low-income tenants such that it's no longer tenable for them to live in neighborhoods where they've lived for a long time. And again, like I said before, one of our big goals beyond like the direct advocacy and organizing work that we're doing is to be a resource for developing a sustainable activist community, and for sort of encouraging the growth of the resources and skills that already exist. One of the things for me, an organizer, like working in a neighborhood where I'm not from and working with like low-income people that I'm not a part of a community with, that's really exciting is like folks that have been living in Harlem and been dealing with all these city bureaucracies and these systems of injustice out of necessity, have developed incredible skills for like surviving and challenging that stuff. And so like a lot of what we like to do is like match people up in a neighborhood and say, you know, here's somebody on this block who has a lot of experience with battling like welfare bureaucracies, and but doesn't have any experience doing cases in housing court for repairs. And here's somebody else who needs some help with a welfare hearing that's coming up. And so just sort of helping to tap into and hook people up sort of organically, again, like not trying to impose something that is like artificial, like this sort of dividing up people's based on what agencies offer what services, but instead just looking at the...
Is the Nicholas Street building, is that your main project right now? Are there other projects you're working on as well?
We're doing a couple other housing-related things, none on the same scale as 351 St. Nick. That's a big building. It has like 40 apartments in it, and it's fully occupied. And everybody in the building, almost, there's maybe a few people who are involved in the tenancy station, which is wonderful, but it also is a lot of work. It's a lot of folks. But we're doing some stuff, like anti-eviction stuff, and some smaller like brownstone buildings. And then the other area that we're moving into a little more now is doing work around illegal, and we're working with the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement, which is an organization in Brooklyn that does amazing work and does like popular education, community organizing. We do training for high school students and others in central Brooklyn on how to deal with police surveillance on the street, how to deal with police interaction, like what your rights are, but also like how to navigate the police in such a way that you don't let them set you up so that you get taken in for something that you never did. So working with them to do that workshop in the neighborhood that we're working in, like in the bulk of the buildings that we're working in are all in that area around 351 St. Nick. So we're trying to focus in that area. And that to us like is this example of just real practical sort of like community organizing, real skills that look at a bigger picture of the prison industrial complex, but also provide opportunities for like individuals at a really local level to improve like the situation of their lives and also the safety for them of their neighborhoods, as opposed to the safety of the neighborhood for, you know, I don't know, some imaginary set of people that, I don't know, will be served by the police. So that's another thing that we're doing now.
In terms of people who want to get involved or support your organization, I mean, is it basically an open group where people can just come in and participate?
I don't know if I should say all this stuff on the air. You know, we're not the most together and organized at all times. You know, we all have like other jobs that we have to pay our bills and that kind of stuff. So we are like spending some time now trying to strategize like what would be a really useful way for other people to participate. A lot of what we've been doing so far has been a little like off the cuff, and sort of as things come up, we've done it. We're trying to get like a little more strategic, both so that like we're using our resources well, and because like we do want to create an opportunity and like a destination for folks that want to resist these forces in Central Harlem. The kinds of things that other folks have been volunteering to do for us have been sort of technical assistance stuff, like doing some fundraising or trying to get us hooked up with some like computer software to track the work that we're doing. Another thing that's in the works that would follow the police training is like a general sort of housing organizing training. And when that comes up, that'll be a great opportunity for other people to get involved, because there's so much of that work, and then it could eat up all of our time. And while we want to keep doing it, we also want to create opportunities for other people to do it and create some room for us to work on some other stuff. So
is there anything else you'd like to add?
I mean, I guess I would just say that it's important for anyone looking at these issues or looking to get involved in this stuff to both have a realistic understanding of the obstacles that we face in creating a New York that is a healthy and sustainable place for poor people and for people of color to live, to be honest about the fact that, you know, that's not the city's plan for New York, and there's a lot of other folks in New York with a lot of power who that's not their plan for, but that there's also like a real like rich history and like, you know, incredible communities of resistance and resource in New York. I mean, that's why this work is exciting for me. It's so exciting to be a part of a struggle that's really hard, but that I think brings out the best of people and the best of neighborhoods, and that I think while grappling with like the sort of practical realities of like daily life in New York, also to get from, you know, here to there. So.
All right, thank you very much.